Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Rafael Orris, Undersecretary for Management at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining our conversation from IBM is George Cruiser.
Rafael, roughly half the department's annual budget is spent on procurement and acquisition-related activities. Simply stated, acquisition management is a primary route for you to deliver the mission services. What are some of the critical challenges you're facing in this area? And tell us a little bit about what you're trying to do to enhance DHS's acquisition and procurement structure and the processes to meet these challenges.
Oh, George, I love the question because it gives me the opportunity to talk about one of the areas that I'm most excited about. And really what we're talking about is the department's overall acquisition strategy, our acquisition approach. Here is the best opportunity to maximize our return on investment, to be good stewards of the roughly $11, $13 billion annually we spend on acquisitions. So what makes a good acquisition? What is a good acquisition? It starts with, again, it's going to sound so fundamental, it starts with good requirements. You know, I look at the two opposite ends of the acquisition life cycle. You have to start off with good requirements. I've got to know what I want to buy, what I want to use it for, how do I intend to measure its effectiveness, what do I consider to be the life cycle or the lifespan of that investment. That's at the front end. Almost, you know, I don't want to diminish it. The procurement part is somewhat easy. You know, go put out an RFP that's based on a good set of requirements, make the best award you can, negotiate the best deal. And then the second phase or the second hardest part of this is managing the implementation of any acquisition. So those are the two areas that I am spending my time right now focused on quite a lot. How do we get better at defining requirements? I don't want to slow the process down. Again, so here's the challenge. We don't want to make it so cumbersome that it becomes so difficult to develop requirements that we'll never get anything out the door, that we won't be able to buy anything. So that wouldn't be a good use of our time. But how do we build in the appropriate gateposts, if you will, so that we're getting good requirements, we've got a good fundamental, good sound procurement strategy, we execute that, and then we have the ability to implement or execute the delivery of that. Those are the areas of acquisition that I'm most focused on. The good news is that my predecessors have built a good foundation on which to build on, development of some departmental regulations that allow us to do some of those things. All we're doing is building upon that, strengthening the front end and strengthening the what I call the back end or the execution side. If you look at those programs in the department, those that have not gone as well have a commonality. They all started pretty much with poorly defined requirements and weren't executed optimally. So why focus on acquisition? Well, again, as you said at the outset, that's roughly half your spend on an annual basis. I want to put the maximum amount of energy into the maximum amount of effect that I can to maximize my resources. There's a lot of things that we can be doing, but we've chosen to concentrate on the acquisition because I think there's great efficiencies there to be had, both in terms of negotiating better contracts, getting better deals on behalf of the government, but also doing a better job on executing this program and working with our partners in the private sector and the other sectors, because that's how we execute a lot of our business.
So, Rafael, what are you doing to drive results, outcomes, transparency, and accountability in your organization?
Well, we've been going through an exhaustive process. And when I say exhaustive, coming on the heels of the QHSR and the BRRRR, it was important to begin to turn our attention, our management attention to what are the indices that we will measure to be able to showcase to the American people that we are indeed fulfilling what we stated in the QHSR and what we identified as priorities in the BRRRR. So we've been going through this very exhaustive process to develop performance measures that are realistic, that are reflective of the true mission of the department. This has been something that the Secretary, Secretary Napolitano, has been really, really pushing us to do. And I've got to give tremendous kudos to our Deputy Secretary for really helping drive this process. So we're literally going top to bottom through all of our performance measures. We've thrown out a whole bunch of them. We've come up with new ones. But it's forcing every component, every service delivery part of DHS to take a look at what is their core mission, how do they plan to do it, and how do you measure that? How do we know that we're delivering what we've said we're going to do? And you think about such a varied mission, whether it's the Coast Guard, how do we know that the Coast Guard is doing all it can, and how do you measure their effectiveness in search and rescue, for example, or in FEMA? after an incident. How do we know that FEMA is actually doing a good job? Well, we got to understand what their job is first. There was a lot of issues surrounding Katrina and other events like that. We've learned a lot about what is the role of the federal government, how do we work with our state and local partners, and then force us to think, okay, how do we determine, how do we measure that effectiveness? How do we know we're doing a good job? How do we know we're doing a good job in aviation security? What is a good job for a job well done for a transportation security officer on the line, for example? You know, how do you look at that? How do you measure that? You know, these are the things that we've been working very hard for the last couple of months, and we have to complete that process. OMB has to review that, and it's, again, a requirement internally before we can disseminate them. But I think the department has shown a lot of creativity, a lot of innovation, and really a determination to rethink how we should talk about what we do and then, therefore, how we measure that.
In addition to having great people, there's a huge expectation of you being leading the prudent stewardship of financial resources. And one of the things as DHS came together was you inherited the opportunity to have lots of financial systems and lots of financial reporting. How are you pulling all that together so that you can get, you know, timely, meaningful data pulled together, especially as you look at consolidating to a one DHS?
Oh, George, that's square one at building the new DHS. I alluded to earlier, the need for decision support tools or business information tools to enable decision makers to make better decisions. But fundamental, we need good financial management systems that provide the data and then support and feed these decision support tools or these business intelligence tools. So you're right in your premise. We came together as a department without any unifying, overriding financial management system that ties the department together. So we have, in our department, we have, I think, 13 different financial systems. So you can make a major investment into keeping all those systems going and perhaps tying them together. Or what we are going to do, which is we're going to do a very smart, needs-based assessment of the department financial management systems, those that are in greatest need of either replacement or repair, basically assessing the health of those systems. And we're going to systematically approach that. So we're going to go through component by component, financial system by financial system, and take a look at where we need, what kind of level of investment we need to bring these systems in line. For example, very simple thing. We don't have a common line of accounting. We don't have a cost accounting system. So it's very difficult. Imagine in the private sector trying to conduct your business without a cost accounting system, without being able to look at your costs commonly. You know, what do I spend for pencils? What am I spending for travel? What do I spend for training? Very easily, common across DHS. We don't have that ability right now. So this is probably the most important thing that we're focused on right now is building good financial management systems that will support the department. What also will this do? We haven't been able to get a clean audit, and it's very important that we do that. We've made tremendous progress. We've been able to get our material weaknesses down from about 10 down to 1. We've been able to get our findings down. Again, a lot of folks have put a lot of hard work into bringing the department forward. So I think we're right at the cusp of being able to seal the deal, if you will, on some of these initiatives. But being able to get an audit is driving us as well to improve our financial management system so that we can improve our reporting, so we can improve our internal controls over operations, our internal controls over financials, all the good fundamental core tools that we need to manage the department.
I understand your notion of you've got to be good first to move forward, but at the same time, there's a balance of, you know, what you bring in-house, what you acquire, I think we've talked about all these pieces independently, but I'd like to talk a little bit about how you're integrating that whole thing together. How are you coming up with, you know, the strategy for the balancing of the workforce and the contractor force so that you have ultimately the best possible delivery of the mission that you can have?
Well, we have an initiative that we call the Balanced Workforce Initiative that is designed to help us go precisely through that kind of analysis. Take any kind of contract. take a look at the resource need and begin to assess, A, are we still meeting a core mission with this contractual activity? Have we achieved our mission? You know, when I, again, grew up in government in Florida, the state of Florida had something called sunset legislation. Good, bad, or indifferent, one thing that it did well was allowed us to forced us to ask some of these questions. What's the useful life of this investment or this program or this initiative at the outset? So again, define an end state. So far too often, not just DHS, but far too often, we find ourselves in situations where we enter into a contractual activity. We really don't have a clear sense of the end state. It's certainly no good for the agency, nor it is for the private sector partner. You know, everybody wants success. You know, when I was in the private sector, I wanted to get in, add value, and go away. Because the greatest endorsement I have of the work that we did was meeting my client's objectives, not prolonging it, not prolonging the schedule, not exceeding cost. It was the greatest tool I had to win additional business, to be able to go to the next client and say that my track record is such that I was able to deliver to my client on time and on budget. That's all we're asking for, is an opportunity to be able to assess our workforce. Do we have the right mix? You know, the one thing that this is not is an attempt to go after contractors. Department of Homeland Security, many federal agencies, all the federal agencies use contract workforce to deliver services. We do that at the state and local level as well. The trick is to make sure that we have the right balance. As simple as, do we have the right people doing inherently governmental work, to what is the right mix of personnel for oversight? Do we have the right number of oversight for contract staff by federal government employees? All this tool does is allow us to evaluate these different factors and make a determination whether we're wisely spending our money. So it's important that our private sector partners understand this and know we're going through. It's no different than what the private sector has gone through for the last several years as we've gone through a recession and companies were looking for ways to be more efficient, looking for ways to maximize the utilization of their resources. We're doing the same thing. You know, if there's one thing that I want to really keep harping on during my tenure at DHS is that we're entering a time of fiscal austerity. It's going to force us at DHS to be able to think differently about how we deliver services, at what cost, what our overhead structure is, what does it take to deliver those costs. And again, always thinking about, are we adding value back to the taxpayer? So a big part of my job, again, for the duration of my tenure, is to harp on, are we good stewards of the public's money? Are we managing our resources well?
How is DHS consolidating its physical footprint? We will ask Rafael Boris, Undersecretary for Management at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.